If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
Guys, DGS on KMOX. What a treat. We get to talk to the legend himself, my good pal, Mike Claiborne. What's up, Claibs?
It's all good, man. How are you guys doing today?
Doing okay, brother. I had to have emergency surgery yesterday on a skin infection. That's the way I roll. Yeah. I just keep getting sexier. I don't know. I don't know how to stop it. But yeah, I had like a golf ball removed from behind my ear yesterday.
Well, but you know what? Women like those scars of battle.
Oh, I'm set.
So I think it's going to certainly help you.
I'm set.
With your pursuit of happiness.
So,
you know, chicks dig scars, man.
So big day in Cardinals Nation. We're going to talk about that. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't start with the sports story of the day. It turns out an 80-year-old golfer has won his 43rd club championship by shooting a 70. The president of the United States has done something that Arnold Palmer never did. I think we should take a moment and celebrate that.
Mm. Well, you know what? For putt-putt courses all over the country, I'm sure that it is something that they are certainly beaming about. You know, when I read that story, I was like, okay, let's pump the brakes here. Okay. I mean, we know this particular president likes to play golf, and that's great. You know, we all have to have some sort of recreational activity. But let's not get carried away here. I mean, we all know golfers who are far better than him that don't have this sort of record. And I don't care if you own the course or not. You know, that doesn't mean anything. But it was probably one of those things where when you need a morning laugh, that was it for me.
Yeah. I think Arnold Palmer shot a 71 at 71, and people said that was one of the greatest athletic feats of all time. So just ridiculous.
Maybe he was playing for the women's tees. You never know.
Yeah, could be.
Even that, I say no chance. Even you cut that distance, there's no way.
Yeah.
I've seen his swing. It's not that good.
Wheels, I'm going to turn this over.
You know what? He and Charles Barkley have one thing in common. Swings you don't want to look at.
Yeah. I don't know. Charles might be uglier. His is pretty bad.
You know, Vic has a good idea.
Although, you know what? I'll tell you something. It's gotten better. His swing is a little better than what it used to be.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That doesn't mean he can shoot a 70, nor the other guy.
Maybe,
but, you know, that's another story for another day.
Maybe on the first nine.
Claibs, before we get into the Cardinals and the trade deadline, we're doing the Sweet 16 later, and the Sweet 16 is the best sports nicknames of all time. What's yours?
Ooh, man, that is a great call. Jeez. Man, I got to think about that one. Babe?
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth would be one. Gosh. I'd have to think through Dr. J.
Yeah. That's one of
mine,
too.
I mean, that said it all for me. Because he was one of my idols, so I would go with him.
He was an era.
Yes. I wanted to be like him. I remember when he was playing, he wore knee braces. When I was in high school, I wore knee braces. There was nothing wrong with my knees. I just want to look like him.
That red, white, and blue ball.
That would be one. Gosh, it's who? You know, there's got to be a football one we're not thinking of here.
Sweetness isn't bad.
Sweetness. just trying to think of anything baseball wise where you knew him by that name other than his name was on his driver's license.
Yeah. Well, you got the man.
Buster Posey.
Yeah.
He would be one. Yeah. I mean, everybody knew him as Buster.
Yeah, the Big Hurt.
Big Hurt would be one. Or, you know, when you're really good, they only use one name to describe you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Junior. You know, everybody knows who Ken Griffey Jr. is, or Michael. You know, those are the ones that stand out. Like Magic Johnson, you know, that would be one. Magic would be one.
And the people
who really, Pat Riley only called him Buck or Irvin, never called him Magic.
No, I didn't know that. Didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, so.
Wheels, why don't you
you know what I did today?
What's that?
I went to the MLB offices today and sat in the replay center and watched how they break down replays during games. And the balls and strike, the ABS, it is fascinating. The information and the views and the angles that they have. And Mason Wynn and I went, Craig Wilson from the Cardinals, we all went over. And it was just a really impressive setup that they have over there. And if you ever come to New York, you got to go into the MLB building. They have so much interesting stuff going on there.
Does it make you more confident in the calls, Klabs?
Yes, it really did. And it was interesting. There was a play we had last night at second base. Runner was trying to steal a bag, and he slid in the second base head first, and he came off the bag by just a hair, and Mason held the glove on him, and his glove brushed his knee, and that's all they needed to call the runner out. I mean, and Mason was like, I wasn't sure if I got him or not last night. Mm-hmm. And so he said, after looking at that, I'm still not sure if I got him, but they said I did. I mean, it was fascinating.
That's cool.
So I did that today. And then I went out, and it's right in the heart of the shopping district in Manhattan. So I'm down large after this trip, man. I may have to go find something else to do. But the weather's spectacular here. Everybody's moving around. Nice. I think we're going to have a good crowd tonight at Yankee Stadium. Saw John Hamm last night, talked to him for a little bit. You know, people show up for the Cardinals when they come to New York.
You know what? This is why we love sports. I went through every emotion during the game last night.
All I'm going to say is, I know one person in uniform that said, I know there was a record for most home runs hit by two teams in Yankee Stadium. He said, there should be another record for the one word I kept saying all night long. There should be a record for that word, too. And I'm sure you guys can come up with what that word was. But it was that sort of game, man. I mean, as John Rooney said it best, he said, we won the first half, and they almost won the second half. But I've never seen home runs hit like that, and the way the Cardinals came back after being down in the eighth inning, it was one of the most memorable games I've been part of.
That was so many things, like so many lives lived in the middle of that, Klabs, where – you know, you're facing a guy that very likely will win the American League Cy Young Award in Cam Schlittler, and you beat him up, which is...
just jumped all over him.
I mean, like, for 8 weeks, this team hasn't hit. And all of a sudden, you're facing this guy, and you're just, like, eating him alive, get him out of the game. And then they have their big inning because, you know, your starter, Michael McGreevy, came out with 91 pitches before he finished even the fifth inning. And your bullpen gave it up in a big way, and then all of a sudden... the explosion. That was one of the most fun innings of offense I think we've seen from this team in a long time.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, talking to Alec Burleson after the game and starting, I said, have you ever hit three home runs anywhere? Little league, you know, high school?
It's super rare, man.
And he said, I don't think so. He said, I don't think so. I said, well, you would have known had you done it, so you probably haven't.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you throw in the whole trade deadline and everything that was going on with that and the emotions that were riding on that, circle that day on the calendar, man. I don't know where we're going to go from here, but this is one that brings everyone together.
Claves, it's going to be really fascinating. I mean, the way that the team is building forward, you know, clearly, you know, Lars Nootbaar subtracted from the roster, and Cesar Prieto is getting called up today. And I'm sure you could speak to this, and you guys will on the broadcast, at least to some degree, because we're getting a lot of buzz. I'm getting a lot of reaction on Twitter, things like that, where people are wondering, where's Joshua Baez? Well, I can't imagine there's a scenario where we're going to see Baez before we get past mid-August, because at the very least, not only do you want to make sure he's ready and playing well and all that, but you don't want to waste the rookie of the year eligibility for next year, because if you bring him up now, there's a good chance that goes away. If you wait 10 days, then that's not even a concern for the rest of the year.
Exactly. You hit it spot on. That's why J.J. Weatherholt didn't play last year.
Right, right.
And there's a plus to that. And throw in the fact that if there's a lockout and he's on the floor and you play him, you know, then he can't play in the minors next year if the minor league schedule goes on. So there are a lot of things that go into roster structure. And we're going to have Chaim Bloom on, I think, in the fourth inning tonight. So for everybody to tune in, he may be able to shed even more light on the direction and why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing makes complete sense. You know, like this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I agree.
You didn't play well enough in the 6 weeks leading up to this point to justify adding. You can still finish well and compete and do all of those things, because some of the guys you moved... You didn't, I mean, like, for example, you didn't have Newt the first 2 months, and you were competitive those first couple of months. You can live without that. It's going to be tough to replace May, but you also have Dobbins, who's now up and starting today, and Quinn Matthews, who got sent down today, but can come back, you know, in what, 8, 9, 10 days to be back if you need another guy in the
we'll
rotation.
We'll see him again.
Yeah. I mean,
see him again, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, it's just it's a fascinating thing that, you know, the problem, you know, is going to be, to me anyway, the problem is going to be, are you going to get enough offense from the second half of the lineup? You know, the top four have been pretty good all year. After that, it's been pretty thin. And then can the bullpen hold up? Because, you know, if the starters aren't going to go deeper, and I get why they don't, 91 pitches a lot before the fifth inning, it's going to be tough to maintain this pen, although you are adding at least one major league piece in Caleb Ferguson.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a good plus because we have another left-handed option.
Yeah.
And that's something we didn't have for a while. So I agree with you on that front. So I like our direction. I like what they're doing. You know, this is a year of evaluation of assets and what you need. And I think we kind of have come to the conclusion on what is needed. But I think the spirit and the culture of this team and the players that are on it, they want to be part of the growth. You don't have guys saying, get me out of here. I want to go somewhere else. They want to be part of this because they've all come up together. You know, they're all coached and managed by the same people. And I think they feel like they owe it to each other to give the effort that they're going to need in order to be successful.
All right. Last thing I got, Claves, because, I mean, you've got more years than me covering this team and being around it. And I've got 20. So, you know this stuff better than I do. Can you remember a time where the Cardinals farm system was this deep? With power bats, power arms, you know, the guys they added yesterday from Milwaukee, Ragsdale and Frias are both really high-end young outfielders. Frias is already like their number four prospect, and he's only 18 and a guy that they think is going to grow into a lot of real power. I can't in 20 years remember the Cardinals system being this deep with guys that possess the power on both sides of it, the offensive power and the pitching side power.
Yeah, you know what, Kevin, that's a good point. I think that, this might be, and I think it's only going to get deeper, to be honest with you, because there's some kids that they have that have really made some real impact.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if there's a guy that throws 105 miles an hour other than Clark, but I think, you know, we've gotten away from pitch to contact. We're swinging and missing now, and I think that that's something that plays well at the big league level. And I like the fact that we've invested in coaches and developmental people in the minor leagues. They're teaching the game the way it should be taught. We have more boots on the ground for that. And I know people say, well, you know, they didn't spend any money on players. No, they spent money on developing players. And once you have that system role, then you can be the Dodgers and make those multiplayer deals because you have so much talent in your farm system and you're making trades to get other talent to use in order to make other trades if you need to. So I'm liking the direction. You know, it's going to take a little time, but I think we're closer than I think we thought we would be.
Claims our buddy Ed Curtis is on the stream watching. He says, hello, have a great time in the Big Apple, and we'll talk to you soon, my pal.
Well, mission accomplished on a great time in the Big Apple. I've already got that taken care of. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. We got to figure out who our fourth is for dinner, Dave.
Let's do it. None of these fools
right,
in the room.
See
with
you guys
me.
Later.
All right, pal.
See you, Claims.
Just a little. Let me watch your hips sway.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can almost guarantee you that KMOX is the only radio station in the country playing Huffamoose today.
Who do what the?
Huffamoose.
What's that?
It's a great band from the 90s. Very sexy song. One that makes me think of you.
Oh, well, hey.
Now you know what friggin' Huffamoose is, don't you?
Like, every song makes you think of me, though.
Not all in good light, though.
That's true. That's a good point.
Some of them get me angry.
Some of them
that's
are like,
really, that's
that
a really funny
Wheeler.
Concept. Like, you have the songs that make you think of people. It's funny. It's a funny concept to have a song that makes you think of someone, but, like, think of how much you hate them.
Right.
Oh, this song always reminds me of Kevin and how much I hate his guts.
What a jerk.
Rachel, Andrew, do you know who Charlie Hull, the golf player, is?
No.
I know he's a golf player.
No,
I just found that out.
It's a she.
Oh, I know she's a golf
player. She's very attractive and became a sensation because she smokes on the course.
Oh, this is her.
Course.
Okay, yeah. I kind of love her. And I don't know anything about her other than the fact that she smokes.
Yeah,
kind of like that.
Same with me.
I like that.
She is under fire because she played a prank on her caddy.
Uh-oh.
And she went out and had a fake lottery ticket made that showed that he won $100,000.
That's horrible.
That's not good.
Well, there we go.
That's not funny.
I love pranks. I don't think that's a funny prank to do to people.
Especially like
any
she
people.
Smokes, Kevin.
Well, it's especially not funny when it's she probably has millions of dollars. I'm assuming her caddy does not.
Right.
So to be like, guess what? You're going to be rich like me. Just kidding.
Like, yeah, like
that's really mean.
That's what makes it like it would be mean enough if like I did it to someone on like an equal economic level. But if somebody like much richer than me did that prank to me, that's wrong.
That does add a level of jerk to it, doesn't it?
Charlie, I don't care how cool you look when you're smoking on the golf course. I'm done with you.
Yeah, you can be hot and a jerk at the same time.
I care.
I've seen those, though. Those are the ones that are like people will do it to their family members. I've seen people do it to like their dads. And like, that's not funny.
It's not.
I mean, I like pranks. That one's not funny because that person literally is going, I just won all this money. What am I going to spend it on? And then you're like, ha ha, you're an idiot.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. You know what? Better take up your stresses again. I know they all just melted away because you're financially free, but no.
Did she do it to see how the caddy would react like towards her? See if the caddy would be like, I'm out of here.
Was it a loyalty test?
Can't stand you.
It's a loyalty test. Like, you, I hated you all along.
I've been waiting for this moment.
I don't like loyalty tests, period. Do you guys ever see on social media where it's like, hey, they'll go to like a hot girl on social media and be like, I want you to test my boyfriend. Like, send him a DM and see how he reacts. Like, well, now you're asking for bad things to happen. Like, I do not approve of that type of thing.
Yeah, if you, like, DM my boyfriend and see if he responds, and that'll prove he's loyal. He's like, well, it sounds like, I don't know.
It sounds like you hate him already.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds like you're just looking for a reason to not be with him, and you're, like, causing problems.
We found a prank that Wheeler doesn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not cool. And it's and first. It has never happened to me, so it's not because somebody did it and I got mad. First of all, I would not
believe it. We didn't think that until you brought it up. No. Now we're all kind of wondering.
It's not about a personal bias. It's just a really jerky thing to do.
No, it would have been amazing if you said, you know what, this happened to me.
Yeah. No. But now we all think it did happen to you because you were like, and to be clear, just to be clear, this has never even happened to me before.
Be clear,
yeah.
Ben Boy didn't do it.
No. Well, first of all, if he did, he would have paid for it.
Ooh.
There would have been some bad payback for that.
Would you have kissed him real hard?
Oh, no.
I'd have given him a lottery ticket for $200,000.
I should take opiates every show.
I'm enjoying the thought of, like, maybe Dave didn't have a problem with this, and now he's, like, putting aside his fake lottery tickets for us right now. Like, oh, right. They don't like it. So they don't think it's funny.
Not funny.
Don't open that letter.
End of the hour. Because you, our rhythm, I'm a cold shower.
GS on KMOX. It's election day. We have Ian Mackey coming in later on the show. We'll talk all about that. Hey, no more political ads after this. Well, I mean, we'll still have them, but
maybe not as heavy.
I voted
November is still coming.
Yeah. November seems less important.
In a lot of these things, it is. Yeah. Yeah. The primaries are what it's all about within each party. Yeah. Yeah.
I voted across the street, Central Library.
There you go.
Good because the city has all these, like, universal polling locations.
Yeah.
Like, you can just vote wherever, and I said, that is quite convenient.
People have been going out of their way to vote at the library today, as I understand it, because they have extra cute stickers.
They do. I actually posted one to my Instagram story.
Very nice.
It says, can't shush this.
Can't shush?
Can't shush this. I voted at St. Louis Public Library.
Like a library, you know?
Like, can't touch this, gotcha. But can't shush this.
I gotcha.
Can't silence this voice.
It's not too bad.
It's pretty good. It's cute.
Not too bad. Little bit existential here. I saw a TikTok from a doctor. It doesn't matter. But he was making the point. He's like, every movie you've ever seen, every great book you've ever read, every interesting story you've ever heard involves a human going through something incredibly hard. So if you're going through something incredibly hard, just know this is the hero's journey. This is the arc of humanity. You cannot have a truly fulfilling life unless you go through really difficult things. And it made me think, I'm sure if you took all the human lives that have ever been lived and just take the ones in the last 100 years and you spread them out across a spreadsheet, you would have just like, how the hell did this guy fall in so many holes? And how did this person seems to have had like a really pretty easy time of it? What do you guys make of that theory, though, that you really do need real tough times to feel like your life has been complete and fulfilling?
I don't know if I necessarily agree that that's how, like, you must go through trials in order to feel fulfilled, but trials are a part of life, and the idea that, like, we deserve happiness and life is fair and life should be easy, like, that is something that I've had to kind of get over as an adult and come to terms with the fact that, no, like, sometimes things are not fair. Life is not fair.
Yeah.
Things are tough. And as tough as you feel like you may have it way better than millions of other people. So you have to keep that in mind. And everything changes. Everything is temporary. Things are going to move. Look at the seasons. Like we have in St. Louis, we have 4 seasons a year and we know that they're going to change and we know they're going to be back again next year.
Yeah.
It's a cycle that, that you go through. So
is there anyone that doesn't have difficulties?
Yeah,
ever in their lives? I mean, like, I can see how, like, some are more fortunate than others. That's
right.
A truth. That's a fact. But sometimes your most difficult things may not come until you're 70 or until you're 90. I mean, like, you just don't know. Like, so, yeah, you might get through a lot, but everybody has things. It just, they're all different levels, and there's the frequency varies, But nobody ever just like, do they just skate through and everything's perfectly smooth? It might seem like it from the outside, but that doesn't mean that's how that person perceives it.
Which I think is unfortunate because probably most of life, but certainly in the last 25 years of social media, we have been showing everyone our highlight reel while they are watching their own personal blooper reel, right?
Right.
You know, I'm watching you on a private jet, and I'm trying to pay the light bill.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it's a fake private jet, you know, or if they're going through a divorce or whatever it is, you still tend to, at least I do, look at other people and go, oh, then I saw something interesting, and it's just such a cliche kind of thing. But it was, if you took all the people in the world's problems and wrote them on a piece of paper and put them in a big basket, would you be willing to reach in and pick one out and trade?
Mm, yeah. I wouldn't trade.
Well, no, because then I wouldn't have any of the friends or family members and things that I currently have.
And it's like you would have to be in a pretty dire place to actually reach in and make that trade, right? And I don't think any of us are in that place.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There probably are some people out there who do not have anything good in their life, and it's just darkness from here on, but none of us are in that position, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would venture to say most of the people listening, too, you know.
Although mine looked pretty dark yesterday morning. Well. It was touch and go there for a while. So, I had a weird thing happen last night with DoorDash. So weird that I reached out to my friend Andrew, who is a former DoorDasher. And I ordered something from like 5 miles away, which is, you know, pretty far for DoorDash. And it was just taking forever. And so I look and I notice like the little red guy, you know, here he comes, is on a bike. And I texted Andrew. I'm like, is this a thing? Like, did DoorDash people ride bikes sometimes? Like, I get it if you're going a mile. But it took the guy like as long as it would take to ride a bike. And then I missed him when he came to my door. I wanted to run up there and see his bike.
I don't really know, you know, how many people. I know that it's more common in, like, you know, like New York City.
Right.
I've had plenty of people deliver to me on a bike.
Really?
In the city, yeah. Hmm. Sometimes, though, it'll be registered as a bike, and then they do pull up in a car. But I have seen them on the bike, and like Dave said, it took bicycle time.
It's interesting to me because I know that there are people in, like, you know, like I said, like New York City, you know, like downtown, you know, Boston, LA, or whatever, big giant cities that do like bicycle delivery for food and stuff. But a lot of times when you're in one of those cities, you're kind of, if you're DoorDashing, you're kind of only handling like a several block basis.
Right, you know, right.
You're going, you know, half a mile away to get somebody's pizza and then biking that half a mile back to give it to them. I always felt like St. Louis had a bit too much of a sprawl to do that. Like, you know.
Yeah, we're spread out. I saw something yesterday that it kind of made me giggle. Maybe I shouldn't have. But the story was about how professors are losing their jobs because the federal government has taken away so much funding and so many grants. Okay. Comma. And I can't remember if they said most or many, but it was one of those two words are going straight to OnlyFans.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, did Dairy Queen and Kohl's just close and no one can go work? Like, it's like if you lose your career, you just go OnlyFans?
Yeah, that seems like not a real thing.
Yeah.
And that seems like you want to do OnlyFans. Like, I don't know how many people are out there like, I have no other choice. I must sell photos of myself online. Like, there are a couple steps you could take before that, I think. But that's part of that is, whoever does PR for OnlyFans, oh my gosh. I hope you made a lot of money because you did a great job. You're selling particularly young women the idea that like this is not only a good choice, but like one of the best choices you could ever make is you're going to take control of your body and your sexuality.
You're stupid
and it's
if
on
you don't.
Your terms. Exactly. And it's like for some people that is true. And for some people, they are able to make a living. And for some people, it's genuinely what they want to be doing.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of people who start doing that make no money.
Yeah.
And open themselves up to all sorts of judgment and criticism from the people in their lives, future employers, whoever. For the vast majority of people, it is a terrible investment.
It's difficult on someone like me knowing I'm leaving millions of dollars on the table.
Right.
On a daily basis, just especially now after the ear thing.
Well, you probably feel dumb. Yeah. You're like, why don't I do it?
Why don't I do it? Yeah.
It's because for the vast majority of people, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. What was that story? Wasn't there a story, we covered it maybe a year ago, where it was like the average person who has an OnlyFans makes like $1,000 a year. And then there's the very small number that make millions, and that's what everybody sees, but you don't see all the ones that just do it. And they're like, welp, that's not going to work.
Right.
And they've already put it out there.
Well, that's a good point.
Like the proverbial cat's out of the bag, so to speak, right?
Yeah, and you know, for some people, that's okay for them. But I just fear that too many people go into it thinking that it's going to be something that it's never actually going to be. And then they do walk away with many, many regrets.
Yeah, so the average OnlyFans account is between $130 and $180 a month.
Mm.
That's the average. So obviously, you've got a very small percentage that are going to make a lot of money, and basically everybody else is making nothing.
A lot like professional sports.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not too far off of this. Yeah.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Ian Mackey's going to join us at the top of the hour. It's Election Day. We'll talk about some of the major races that people are interested in. Talk about Amendment 4 and 5. Rach, tell me about this grading scale.
Okay, I saw this story yesterday while I was doing my show prep, and I thought this was absolutely crazy. So there was a Florida teacher who was fired, and she was fired because she gave zeros to her students, and she gave those students zeros because they didn't turn in their assignments.
Huh, crazy.
Which was pretty much par for the course when I was in school. If you didn't do the assignment, you got a zero. That was the grade that you earned. But this was an eighth grade history teacher in Port St. Lucie, and she gave her students 2 weeks to complete a notebook project, but some of those students just didn't hand it in, and since they had done zero work, she gave them zeros, and she got fired from it because the K-12 school that she worked for had a rule called the no-zero policy. And I'd be interested to hear from people on the stream or wherever. Huh. Is there a no zero policy at your children's school? Because apparently this is kind of a common thing. Apparently the lowest possible grade that the teachers can give students is a 50%. That's even if they don't turn anything in.
What? Who thinks that's a good idea?
Bunch of stinking horse crap.
What kind of jackass school officials, school board, whatever, whether it's state, local,
because that's how life works.
You think that's a good idea to show a kid that if you don't do the work, you still get half credit?
So
it's insane.
The reasoning behind giving 50% for nothing is that it could be difficult for a student to ever recover their grade in that class, meaning it's too harsh of a punishment.
Well, that's why you do the work.
You don't have to do it well, just do it.
There's an answer for this. You just do the work.
I mean, that's
insane. Or ask for an extension. here's the part that I think is really
Andrew's
crazy.
Andrew's pretty quiet on this one.
Well, let's hear him out.
So the scale is as follows. 90 to 100 is an A. A B is 80 to 89. C is 70 to 79. D, 60 to 69. And then an F is your baseline, 50% to 59. The part that I think really bothers me is that in order to get that A, you still have to score 90%. It's not like you get that 50% and then you only have to get a 40 on top of that. It just feels very, very, very unfair to the kids who are trying hard and trying to get that A, that you could also just not turn in your stuff and, well, you're going to end up with half the grade kind of no matter what.
Yeah, I'm fine if you have, I still think it's stupid. Like if you take a test and you only get 30% of the questions right, you should get a 30% because that's what you got. But if you want to say the bottom level for doing the work is 50%, it's still stupid, but okay. It's less stupid. For people who just didn't turn it in, that should be a zero. There is no excuse. None, zero, zilch. No excuse.
Joel's bringing up the fact that he's seen that it's explained that, you know, the averages disproportionately affect you compared to other grades, meaning 10 points between each grade level, except there's a 60-point F range. Well, the thing is, you have to achieve a certain grade to not fail.
Right.
Like, passing a class means that you understand at least
a minimal
60% of the material. Well, and that's not ideal. Ideally, you would understand 100%.
Maybe I'm missing something. To me, it's so much simpler than that. I understand the math. I understand why it disproportionately affects you.
Yeah.
But it disproportionately affects you because you did zero.
If you don't do the work, that's...
If I'm playing on a sports team and I don't suit up and I don't take an at-bat... But I still want to be in the statistics. Give me a 200 batting average.
Right.
Yeah. No, you literally didn't play.
But then we sit around and we go like, why can't these kids read?
Well, that's exactly, this is the,
why
exactly.
Are they graduating high school and they can't read?
That's
and it's
exactly
like, well,
it.
If their teacher tries to fail them, the teacher gets fired.
Yeah.
So it's just very, very troubling. Look, I don't understand.
If a kid has a learning disability, if there is something going on at home where they need extra or maybe some extra grace in a period of time, those are different things. Have that conversation with the teacher. And I'm talking about the adults. Have that conversation with the administrator. But you cannot reward doing nothing. Could any of us go to work and say, well, I didn't show up, so I still want 50% of my pay? Good luck.
Now hold on.
You're not
a second.
Preparing those kids.
I'm telling you, we got to hear him out.
You know, now that he's putting it that way, I'm starting to, see.
Oh, man.
I mean, why train kids to live in a world that will not exist when they're done with school?
You nailed it, Wheels, because it's like we want to clear the path and be like, everything's easy, everything's great. You don't ever have, there is no adversity, right?
Yeah.
Adversity is bad. I'm going to remove any sort of obstacles for you so you can sail on by. But then once you leave school, once you leave high school, once you leave college and you enter real life, no one's going to be making those kind of adjustments for you anymore.
Well, yeah, I get like... But there's such a difference between the zero. Yeah, because there's such a difference between not showing up.
Not doing it.
And there's such a difference between succeeding in the class and failing.
Yes.
You have to achieve a certain amount in order to not fail.
Yeah.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck. So neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic. But it's not magic.